Let's talk AFL, and gee, the AFL, particularly the games Thursday night and Friday night, are terrific. Brisbane taking on Western Bulldogs, Carlton taking on St Kilda, the Swans take on Essendon. To talk about those matchups and plenty that is happening in AFL, it's a good morning to Shane Crawford. How are you, Crawf?
G'day, Ryan. Hello, Dean, Jamie. Great. The dream team. Hey,
A team.
Out with the old, in with the new. Bring it on.
Yeah. What do you reckon about the other crew? Do you reckon they'd be listening this morning, Crawf, or they wouldn't have even set the alarm?
Oh, look, I don't think bring them back at all. off into the sunset. See you later. No, they'll. Well, Laurie will be still, you know, dreaming of the state of origin. How good were New South Wales? They're unbelievable. So, it's going to be awesome. I was looking forward to. I can't wait for the third match. I think it's going to be an absolute ripper, and in Queensland too. So, even being AFL mad, I love the state of origin. I think the state do such a wonderful job with that game.
I've actually been to Origin in Melbourne, and you Melburnians certainly get behind State of Origin. Crawf, the AFLW had the draft yesterday, and Swan selected Montana Ham as first overall pick. Were there any surprises for you off the back of the draft?
Well, to be honest, I'm not across it a great deal. But, Montana Ham, she's a Melbourne girl, and she's tough. She gets in there and gets the footy. She's got really good skills, and she's off to Sydney. So I know she's very excited to be heading to Sydney. That's a big change, you know, to head to especially being a young girl and going off to a big city that Sydney is. But you know what? The great thing about AFL footy is you get welcomed with open arms, and wherever you come from, and it used to happen, you know, each year we'd have players drafted from the Tiwi Islands, or up in Darwin. We're just open our arms and welcome everyone in, and you just want everyone to fit in and have a great experience. And I'm sure Montana's going to do a great job. And she's going to play really well right from the start. She's had really good grounding. She's got some, I think, older brothers. And so no doubt in the backyard, they'd be testing material, and they're probably fine-tuned her and ready for an AFLW career.
Shane, I'm really interested to get your thoughts on the target that Luke Parker might have on his back. Of course, the Swans player. So first time he meets Essendon, of course, since he taunted Dylan Scheel. And I think he made headlines at the time. He seemed to question Scheel's toughness around the footy. Could this get a bit spiteful?
Well, maybe. Essendon need something to get them going at the moment. So maybe there's a big bullseye on the whiteboard with his name on it. But I'm sure they'll bring it up and just say, listen, don't tolerate this, don't take this. But I think they've all pretty much moved on. And AFL footy, and I'm sure it's like NRL as well and all the other sports, you know, if you take a short little step, don't worry. Plenty of players are there to tell you that you took a bit of a short step. And do you know what? I reckon every week I took short steps. You're running back with a flight of the ball, and you see these big, tall forwards charging at you and defenders. And, you know, so it happens all the time. The cameras were all over it. And, you know, I'm sure Luke Parker, too, when he looks back, he probably thinks, oh, you know, if I knew that it was going to get that much coverage, I probably wouldn't have sort of gone that way. But, you know, you've got to get into the heads of the opposition players. And I know Dylan Scheel, a lot of the players that take all the field in the AFL game, you know, they've got a lot of courage because it's a 360-degree game. You can get tackled and knocked in any direction. So you need courage to run out across the line in the first place. So it'll be interesting, and I'll be looking forward to seeing how it all starts. Hopefully it'll be up and about early, and we'll stay tuned and watch the whole match.
It's going to be really interesting to see how the round starts, isn't it, Crawf? Because, gee, Brisbane, there's various times this season I thought they look every inch premiership contenders, and you've got them up against Western Bulldogs, who have been a bit hot and cold, but you know them at their best can beat anyone. And then on Friday night, what a cracker that is, Carlton versus St Kilda, who probably have the potential definitely to be cemented in the top eight and at times maybe even looked like top four sides, but they've sort of had a bit of a slip recently as well. So two interesting games to open the round.
Yeah, and it's such a long season. Like it's hard to, you know, you even look at Melbourne, it's hard, you know, to keep winning and then, you know, have the confidence up and about, and you hit the middle of winter, and then you have a bit of a slump, and it's just, it's a long season to time your run to not only make the finals, but then do a Bart Cummings sort of Melbourne Cup preparation and then peak for the final. So it's very tough. But the Lions and the Bulldogs tonight at the Gabba, that is going to be an absolute river, because the Bulldogs, they've got their mojo back. They're starting to really believe in what they're doing. They've had a bit of struggle trying to connect with their midfield and forwards, and they still can't work out what's their right mix. But they seem to be just starting to click into gear, and they did make the grand final last year. And let's not forget, they were in front in the grand final sort of, you know, 10, 15 minutes into the third quarter. So they're a very capable side. And then the Lions, I always thought the Lions were the second best team in the competition. I thought clearly, but there's been a few little question marks. And this is why it's going to be awesome, because I think the Lions are going to, I thought they're, even though they got thumped by Melbourne last week, I still thought the Lions were fairly good early, and then there's just a few little moments that could have sort of kept them in touch, and it didn't go their way, it went the Demons' way. So I don't think it's as bad as everyone thinks, although if they lose tonight, we'll be starting to really question where they're at. But I think the Lions are very good, and I think tonight we'll see the very best of them. You know, when you've got players like Lachie Neale, who's in better form than when he won the Brownlow a few years ago, and he's just up and about. And then Hugh McCluggage, who's offering a great deal. Danaher comes back in. So I'm expecting the Lions to win. Not going to be easy, but I think we're going to see the very best of them tonight.
Crawf, let's look ahead to Sunday, where GWS take on Hawthorn, and Giants are $1.48 favourites. They've had four wins this season, and it was interesting because Josh Kelly has said that the season isn't lost yet. How do you see this going?
Yeah, they're playing. They're playing some exciting footy. They're trying to bring the ball through the middle, and they're taking a lot of risks, which is really good. But it makes it very exciting. But there's lots of risk that's needed in this game plan. But there's also, you know, high reward, because you can get easy goals, but you can also turn the footy over, and especially against a good side, you can be made to pay. But Hawks are always competitive. They're not team that they used to be, but they're in a bit of a rebuilding phase. But I reckon they'd be pretty happy with the way that they've been going. They do have big dropouts at times. They can go missing for a quarter, but I think that's just to do with fitness levels and bringing lots of young kids in. But I'd expect the Giants to find a way to win this. I just think they're playing some exciting footy, and I think their form's fairly good. I'll tell you what, the Blues are believing, and I think everyone's starting to believe with them because of their midfield, and then they've got the key forwards and their defence is holding up. People are thinking that the Blues not only can make the finals, but they're definitely capable of making top four. And then, all of a sudden, if Brisbane aren't the side that we think they are, they could be that second piece to the puzzle. So they're definitely, there's a bit of hope there with the Blues, but also the Saints. You know, if they lose this week's a grand final for them. They've got to go and they've got to take down the Blues, because, you know, they've slipped to 10th. The season was looking really good. All of a sudden, they're in a bit of a holding pattern. And this week for them is all or nothing, because, you know, their finals hopes pretty much depend on winning this week. So it's going to be an absolute beauty, and two teams in really good form.
When you look at the market of this match, Geelong, $1.01, North Melbourne, $21. Tom Stewart out for four matches, Crawf. That seemed like a reasonable punishment for what he did.
Yeah, when you run past the ball and you make contact and head-high contact, especially with a player being injured, straight away I thought, I reckon that's 4 weeks. I know everyone debates, you know, how much. And I love that Chris Scott, his coach, in the press conference straight after the game said, you know, he was already starting to defend him and you know, say these accidents happen. And, you know, I love the way that Chris Scott goes into to bat. Tom Stewart's an unbelievable player. And it just shows you last week, you could see that mentally he was affected by what had happened. You know, I don't think he was planning on knocking a player out and taking him out of the game, although Dion Prestia was a pretty good one to do, especially early in the game, because he's been really good through the midfield for the Tigers. But, you know, he's putting in... He's risking his All-Australian sort of representation as well, because there's no doubt he would be in that team right now, but all of a sudden you miss... I think he missed a game through injury, so all of a sudden there's five games that you haven't played through the season. You know, that comes into play as well. So there's a bit to go with it. I thought 4 weeks was fair, and but the Cats, I'll tell you what, he does a wonderful job down back, mopping up and just getting to the right spots and helping out his defence. So it's a bit of a hole for the Cats. Not saying North can win, but it's a bit of a hole for the Cats moving forward in their top four chance.
And what do we do with North? I mean, and poor David Noble, he just seems like such a lovely guy. I know being a nice person doesn't necessarily make you a good coach, but the Kangaroos, they're 1-13. They became the first team in AFL-VFL history to lose 10 games by 40 points or more. That's a real problem.
Yeah, they're also in a rebuilding phase. They were doing that last year. That's why they brought David Noble in. And it's tough. Like, coaching's tough, especially when you're taking on a side to rebuild. You know, it's always a tough couple of years just trying to get them back on track. And the history of coaches coming in for a rebuild is never a long, prosperous one. So I think there's huge alarm bells there with North Melbourne and, you know, the coaching future, unfortunately, just because... It looks as though they've gone back this year in their second year of rebuilding. And, you know, I just think just North Melbourne, they're going to pre-season, there was alarm bells with their form. You heard of players not being happy and not understanding, you know, getting too much information. And then, you know, it's then linked up with their, obviously, season starting really poorly. There was lots of noise coming out of the footy club. There's people leaving their jobs. The head recruiting officer, he left. He said, I'm out of here. There's just lots of bad noise and too much information coming out of that football club. And I've been a part of a football club that was like that for a little while at Hawthorn, and we really struggled. And it's tough. It's tough as a player. It's tough. Everyone's trying to do their bit. But the thing is, until you can actually... stop that information getting out of the football club. You know, get everyone on the same page and everyone working together and linking together. And that includes from board level to coaching level to playing level. I think it's the dangerous period for North Melbourne. I think there'll be huge change. I really do, from a coaching point of view as well. Whether or not that's fair enough or not, I think it's tough for them, from the coaching point of view, to be in that situation. But that's what's got to happen. And then who comes in, I don't know. It wouldn't surprise me. It wouldn't surprise me if Alistair Clarkson takes on a challenge like this, because he's played with North Melbourne. He would have been watching him very closely. He'd no doubt think that he can improve them and get them going. He knows they're in a rebuilding phase, but they've been 2 years in, so it's not as though you're starting from scratch. He's the type of coach that could mentally go, I'm ready for this and I can get this going. And it just would not surprise me, you know, someone like him bobbing up and taking charge and then getting North Melbourne going again.
And there were some reports that Clarko would end up at GWS next season.
Yeah. I'm sure they've had conversations, no doubt. You know, people were talking about Essendon. What happens with Essendon? You know, do they keep sticking with Rutten? You know, and I'm thinking, oh, do you know what? He'd be a good fit there as well. He'd be a good fit no matter where he wanted to go. But, like, if he thinks he wants to coach for another 5 or 6 years and get himself right back into it, and let's not forget, he's been overseas. He's been educating himself in America. He's been at all the NFL sides, but also he spent a lot of time at Golden State Warriors. He's got a great relationship with the coach there, and he spent almost 4 months working and and understanding the team that obviously goes on to win. So he will be ready to go. And like any organisation, it would be crazy not grabbing him and getting him as their head coach. He's mad. He's an angry little garden gnome at times. He's got so much fight in him, but he takes you on a journey where you all understand, everyone understands their role, what we need to do, how you need to work together. He backs you in 100%. And I think that might be the way to rescue the Roos, you know, in such a slump. But they've got to fix all the noise that comes out of that football club. They've got to get the players back believing and being happy, because it seems like they're a bit disgruntled, and they've got to get the right coaching mix moving forward.
Good on you, Crawf. We'll chat to you again next week.
No worries. See you, Dream Team.
Thanks, Jim.